Welcome back to another episode of The Virgin and the Bees. I'm your host, Zarina. My pronouns are she and her, and I'm very excited to have a dear friend of mine, Chelsea, joining us today. Chelsea and I met in college at university. She studied sociology. I studied psychology and English. And we both have been on dating apps for quite a while. And Chelsea was on and off them for about 5 years until she met her partner on Hinge. So congratulations, Chelsea.
And thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today, Chelsea.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd like to say about yourself?
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Serena. I'm excited to be here. My name is Chelsea again. My pronouns are she, her. And yeah, I'm just excited to have this conversation and look forward to having like an interesting discussion about online dating.
Yes, definitely. So what has your experience been like on dating apps?
Yeah. So like you mentioned, I've been on dating apps off and on since I was around 19. I'm now 26. Obviously, I stopped a few years ago when I met my current boyfriend. But I started kind of using Tinder around 19 with some of my girlfriends just as like a fun thing. Like we didn't really like know much about it, but I didn't really go into it with any expectations, but just kind of thought that it would be fun to try that out. I went on a few dates when I had Tinder, but nothing really like significant, like a few like flings, I guess you could call them. But yeah, Tinder is definitely a more like a casual dating app, which is all good, totally fine. But I definitely learned that while I was on the app for a little while. And then I took some breaks. Like I said, like Zarina and I were in Australia together. So I actually went on a Tinder date in Australia. I don't know if we ever talked about it, but
We both did. We had like a pact. We were like, we both have to go on a Tinder date while we're in Australia.
That's right. I forgot about that. Wow. That was like 4 years ago now.
It was a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah. But so yeah, that was interesting, like being on Tinder in another country and kind of like the dating norms are different. But yeah, I also, let's see, I've been on quite a few, just like, again, for fun, like just kind of experimenting with different ones. I tried Coffee Meets Bagel. I tried Bumble. I tried this like mindfulness one. I don't remember the name of it, but it was like centered around like mindfulness and like meeting a partner that's like, you know, equally like-minded to you and like values things such as like spirituality. And, I don't know, it's very centered around mindfulness. So I thought that was like an interesting nuanced one. Obviously I tried Hinge a few times and then I tried Match too. Actually, Match was the app where I like had the really like interesting dating experience. Yeah. So yeah, Zarina knows this story already. But so Match, I always kind of thought of it as like an older person's dating app, like, or a website, you know, where like, not older, but I suppose like someone who maybe is like looking for like marriage, or like, I think that like, I envision that the average age should just be like older because like so many young people just use like Tinder, Bumble, Hinge. But I tried it and there was like, it was a paid subscription one. And I was talking to this guy for a little bit, pretty like soon in to me downloading the app, and he, I'll call him Peter. That's not his real name, but Peter. Okay. So we talked for a few weeks. He asked me to meet up. And so we opted to go to this local sushi restaurant in San Diego, where I'm from. It was fine at first. Like they're always a bit awkward at first, just kind of like getting to know each other. And I would typically have like a drink before to get like a little bit more calm. And so anyway, we had a few drinks and we were just talking and like getting to know each other. And at some point we got on the topic of online dating and just like that it was, you know, an interesting concept. And we had both mentioned that like our moms actually suggested Match to us because it was, you know, maybe like a more like serious like relationship app. And then he proceeds to say that, you know, online dating is interesting because like when you match with someone, you're like indicating that you're both like at the same level of like attractiveness, that you like, you know, whereas if I went up to you in a bar, then I wouldn't know if you were interested, but on an app, like it's, you're mutually interested in one another. And I was just like, okay, just kind of like hearing him out, like, don't know where this is going. And then he proceeds to say, yeah, like you date someone that's in the same like ranking as you. So he's like, you're an 8 and I'm an 8. So like, it like, so it like works out this way because we're like equal. And I'm just sitting there across the table, like, oh my God, this guy literally just rated me from a 1 to 10, like to my face on our first date. I'm like, this cannot be real. And then I'm just, yeah, but I like don't know what to say. I'm speechless. And then he says something like, but you know, like, I don't know you yet. I don't know your personality. So like, maybe if I got to know you more, you'd be more like an 8.5.
That 0.5 bump. Gotta get like, that.
Right. Like, thank you so much. I really appreciate that additional 0.5 bump. So yeah, that was just kind of interesting. Very
tips on what not to
rude.
Do on a first date. Do not right. rank someone.
Like, thought that might be a given, but I mean, I guess not. Yeah, it was, that's like my best, like worst date story to this day. It's just that literally, he literally rated me to my face. So yeah, I mean, the rest of the date was okay. And then interestingly enough, he ended up like kissing me and I like let him kiss me. And like, we just kind of like ended the night that way. And I like look back on that and I'm like, why did I do that? Like, I mean, this is like, I suppose like a separate topic around like self-esteem and self-worth, but like, I wasn't like super interested in him. Obviously he said this like extremely offensive thing to me and I just kind of like let him like kiss me. And anyway, if that's the whole date story, like we just kind of went our separate ways after that. And I don't think we talked again. So yeah. That was that. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Good riddance, but but yeah, what you said about kind of self-worth and stuff, I feel like sometimes we can be a bit like judgmental of our pasts or our dating pasts. I don't know why I'm saying that so weird, but yeah, it's kind of like knowing that you've learned beyond that, but also not judging yourself for not like being like, no, I'm not going to let you kiss me. Like, you're rude, you know, like it's okay that you didn't, but also it's good to recognize that you didn't have to do that, you know, for future scenarios, which isn't even relevant to you anymore because there are no future scenarios in that context. But yeah.
I totally agree. And I think like all of these, like everyone has bad dates and it's a good experience to, you know, to go to meet a lot of people and just like know what you do and don't like. Obviously it makes for funny stories and it's just, I mean, like if you don't try and you don't put yourself out there, like you won't know what you like really want in a partner. Yeah, I have a few other stories too. I feel like online dating like already has like a bad reputation. So like, it's just kind of funny that my bad dates were all from like online, but also like my current boyfriend, been together for over 2 years, was also from online. So it definitely works and it can be successful.
Yeah. When you're dealing with kind of the public at large, you know, it's kind of, there's going to be some good experiences and some bad experiences. And I feel like that's kind of, you know, with any like public service kind of job too, you kind of deal with that as well. Not saying that dating is like a job, but you know what I mean. And I guess in general, like even at parties and friends of friends, there still are some people that you have good experiences and bad experiences, but it almost feels amplified on online dating because there's no like tie to them. And it just brings out some weird behavior in some people. And also you're really dealing with sometimes random people, which can be scary, but obviously not all the time. There's some good things too. speaking of, you know, it can be scary meeting up with a person that you don't know. So kind of some safety tips in general. One thing that I find that I think a lot of girls do, and this was, of course, pre-pandemic, it's a little different now, but would be meeting up in a public place. Because as you know, you don't know this person, they could be fine. Hopefully they're fine. But if you're in a public place, you know, usually it's fine. Nothing crazy is going to happen. Don't go home with someone if you don't feel safe or comfortable around them, and just kind of trust your gut. So that's kind of what I've gone by. And then of course, now in the pandemic COVID world, video chatting, dating, video dating has really taken a rise because it's a safe way to meet someone for the first time. And obviously it's safe because you're not like exposing one another, but also it's safe in that, like, for a woman, like if you feel unsafe, you can literally just click exit and then you're done with the date, like, you know. And so there's no not a lot of risk, like physical safety risk for women video dating, and it's obviously really on the rise. And actually I have some stats about this. So Hinge has this thing called Hinge Labs where they release kind of like data and research into online dating. And they came out with some video chat dating trends that they saw on Hinge, and they would like survey people on their video chat dating experience. And they found that the main barrier, like the main reason why people were hesitant to video date, was because they thought it would be awkward. But they also found with people who did go on video dates that 67% of people thought it was less awkward than they expected it to be. And then 80% of people said that it wasn't awkward at all. And those numbers were actually better than previous data on in-person first dates. So overall, people found video dating first dates less awkward than in-person. So that's interesting. But yeah, do you have any tips on, I guess, safety in first dates, Chelsea?
Yeah, I would go along with your comments around just like meeting in a public place. I think, like, especially now with COVID, you know, I feel like the ideal scenario would be to just like video chat with someone first and like make sure that you would be interested in meeting with them, because I feel like you should be even more selective, you know, nowadays, because you want to make sure that the person shares the same sentiment about you in terms of like taking precautions about COVID. You know, if they're like out like partying with their friends and stuff, like you probably, if you know, you're not in line with that, then you probably wouldn't be interested in that person in the long run anyways. So like it makes sense to align on, you know, your, your like thoughts around this, around the pandemic, because I think it like says a lot about the person too, if that makes sense, like how they're approaching everything. So I think chatting over video chat initially makes sense. And then, you know, maybe you can like talk to them more about what they're doing to be safe. And if you do opt to meet up in person, then wear a mask, make sure that they're wearing a mask, and then do something outside, like a picnic or sit on like a rooftop somewhere. You can go on a bike ride. Like there's like so many fun things.
I like those. You know, the common ones like go for a walk, but those were like extra fun, like sit on a rooftop, like go find a rooftop together and sit on it. Like that's fun.
You can totally still like make it fun, you know, even nowadays. And like, I feel like having an activity also makes it more interesting. Like a walk is obviously an activity, but we're not just going to like sit somewhere. Like we're going to like do something fun, like a bike ride or like a rooftop with a view, or like a hike would be another amazing idea. But yeah, just like, I mean, this goes, you know, along with like post-pandemic too, just like meeting in a public place. I wouldn't go to someone's house initially. And I would also tell your girlfriends where you are. That's really important, because One, like, obviously, like, very low likelihood of something happening, but you never know. So someone should know where you are just in case, like, you know, you didn't come home or whatever for some reason, like, someone knows where you're at and they can, like, check in on you and everything. And also as, like, an escape plan, like one of my other bad date stories, I met up with a guy at a bar, actually. I met him off of, I think it was Tinder too. This was probably like 5 years ago or something. He was just kind of mean, like just like downright mean. Didn't really like greet me when I got there and wasn't really like asking me questions. And it was just kind of weird and uncomfortable. And I wasn't down, like it wasn't good vibes. Yeah. And then we like went to like the music area where like the live music was playing. And he was just kind of like sitting next to me and like not really saying anything. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm not down for this. Like I have to get out of here kind of thing. And my brother, this just like ties in with what I was saying. My brother actually dropped me off there because I was going to be drinking right. with him. And I was not going to like, he was like, oh, I'll just drop you off instead of like having you get an Uber. So I was like, sweet. So I go to the bathroom and I call my brother and I'm like, can you come get me? Like, this is awful. And it had been like literally like 30 or 40 minutes, like not long at all, but it was just like, it was that bad. I was like not having it. And so my brother's like, okay, like, yeah, sure, I'll come. And then I was like talking to the girls in the bathroom, like, oh my God, I'm on this really bad date and I don't know what to do. My brother's not going to be here for like half an hour. Like, what do I do? It was just kind of funny to like talk to them about this date that I was on. Anyway, I'm like, oh, I have to go back. Like he's waiting for me. So I go back and we're like, essentially like the bar is over here. And then there's like the music venue is like way over here. We were at the top left-hand corner. So I was sitting next to a wall and he was in a chair next to me. When I get back to him, he proceeds to literally lock me in the corner. Like he like puts his chair and like tilts it towards me, puts his arm around me, and then there's like seats in front of us. So I was like locked in this corner and I'm just like, oh my God, like I like hate this so much, like I need to leave. And so I just like waited there and like let him like just talk to me, and I could just tell he just kind of wanted to like hook up, you know, like that was the vibe I was getting. He just kind of wanted to like go home with me, and again I wasn't down. So my brother, like, so just like dealt with this until my brother came and I like see him calling. I literally get up and I jump over his legs because his legs are like here and I'm like sitting here. So I just get up and I like jump over his legs and run out and get in my brother's car.
Never gonna see you again. Bye.
Didn't even say anything. I think I was like, I have to go or something. And I just left like totally out of the blue. So yeah, just like on my point of, you know, make sure someone knows where you are, like have a backup plan in case it's really bad. Because I used to feel bad, like if I would leave a date early, I wouldn't leave dates early because I was just like, oh, I feel bad. Like, you know, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, whatever. And then I was like, no, like, I don't want to waste my time. Like this guy's being an asshole. Like, why am I going to just deal with this when I could be doing something better?
Yeah. That kind of shows a little progression from the guy who you didn't really feel like kissing, but you just kind of let him versus mm-hmm. like letting that date go on once you'd already been like, nah, I'm not like, I feel offended by this person versus yeah. like taking action and being like, brother, come get me. I'm leaving, jumping over your legs. Bye.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah, I agree. It was quite dramatic, but again, it's a good story. It's a good experience. So yeah.
And some tips for guys, this should be obvious, but don't ever quote unquote trap a girl anywhere, even like unknowingly. Like, I mean, he probably did that knowingly, but if you're against a wall or something, or you're like in an area, make sure you have just like open space for her to move so you don't like creep her out. And same with anyone, actually, like not just like man and woman, but like, you know, if you're two guys going on a date or two girls or even a girl just being super aggressive, I don't know. Just read the other person's body language and don't do anything to like trap them or make them feel uncomfortable with your body language. So
totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely important to be safe. It'd be nice if all we had to focus on was just, oh, do I like this person? Is there a connection? But unfortunately, we live in a society where we do have to, you know, just take a couple precautions. So just make sure you're safe. And in some ways, the pandemic has actually made that easier in a way with video dating and stuff becoming widely popularized. So
totally.
Yeah, but you know, should be safe on any dating app that you use, and there are a variety of them. And so we thought that we would talk a little bit about the differences between them. Chelsea brought up coffee meets bagel earlier, which every time she does, I think is hilarious because she's the only person I know who has ever brought up coffee meets bagel. So if yeah. you use coffee meets bagel or know what it is or have used it, comment below if you're yeah. watching this on YouTube, because the only time I've ever heard it brought up is with Chelsea. So every time she brings it up,
my best friend actually met her boyfriend, her current boyfriend, on Coffee Meets Bagel. She met him in like March, in last March, obviously. Nice. And now they're like super serious. And they met on that app. So
yay. Success story for Coffee Meets Bagel.
Yes. It does. Yeah. I'd say like out of all of my close friends that are in relationships, I think maybe like at least half have met through an app. So I think it's pretty cool. It's definitely becoming more normalized.
Yeah. That's so interesting what you said about half of your friends meeting on dating apps. And we have an Instagram account for the podcast now. It's at the Virgin and the Bees podcast. So go check us out there. But I asked people in a poll their questions and thoughts on online dating. And someone said they wanted to talk about the evolution of the stigma of online dating to the wide acceptance in today's view. And so I think, you know, the pandemic has obviously kind of turbocharged that, but it's been kind of getting more widely accepted, I think, with the rise of apps and dating apps and people using them more, as opposed to when it was just websites like Match.com, like you mentioned, and eHarmony. And I actually do have a couple of stats. So in 2017, this guy, Rosenfeld, who's in the Department of Sociology at Stanford, did this study looking at kind of how people meet, like how couples meet. And in 2017, 39%, so almost 40% of heterosexual couples met online. This was in 2017, that was 3 years ago. So I'm sure that number is just going up and has probably skyrocketed since March 2020. And speaking of 2020, in 2020, 32 million Americans were using online dating services. So that's a lot of people.
Yeah. Aren't there, I think there's like 330 million people in the US. So the fact that like roughly that number. So I think the fact that 32 million are on dating apps is definitely significant.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially considering that like younger people are more likely to use apps, but considering the entire American population also includes, you know, people of every age and in mm-hmm. rural areas too. And, you know, it's a pretty significant number. And also another interesting fact was that gay and lesbian people were like twice as likely to use dating apps. And I think maybe that is, it's a lot easier because you know that the people on there are interested in that. Whereas it's a lot more difficult to navigate that. Just, you know, at a bar or in person, because you don't know, it, you know, it kind of plays into that heteronormativity thing and not knowing if someone is straight or not and if they're going to be creeped out by your advances. So, yeah, I don't know. I thought that was interesting too.
Yeah, definitely. I love that not only like on that point that you can select, like Bumble, for example, you can select if you're interested in men or women or both. Like, I love that they're being inclusive in that way. And on like that, in that same vein, also you can specify if you're interested in like a relationship or you're like casually looking, or I think there was an option that was like I'm flexible kind of thing. And I think there's a similar option for Hinge as well, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I haven't been on the apps for a while now, so
yeah,
but I like that they're just becoming more like inclusive overall. Yeah. Because yeah, not everyone is looking for the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think Bumble really is sort of like a middle ground in a way. Like, mm-hmm, Tinder usually is thought of as more hookup-y place to go. Though I did have one of my really close friends met her now fiance on Tinder just a few years ago. And this was still when, you know, Bumble was out and all these other apps. It wasn't just Tinder was the only kind of main app out there. So it's still, yeah, you know, there still is potential to meet someone who's looking for a relationship on there. But in general, mm-hmm, I feel like it's, you know, it's definitely more of a hookup place. And then Hinge is marketed as the app designed to be deleted. So people on there in general are open to relationships usually. Mm-hmm. It's definitely like, if you meet someone on Hinge, I feel like there's more of kind of like, okay, maybe this is more of like dating and potentially seeing if this is relationship potential versus Tinder, where it's more of the expectation of like a hookup or, you know, totally, that kind of situation. But Bumble's really interesting in that it kind of is kind of this middle ground, and you can choose, mm-hmm, you know, what you're looking for, which I think is really helpful. And I think really makes that conversation easy, because I feel like in a lot of relationships, and by relationships, I don't mean like a committed, you know, relationship. I'm just talking about like,
yeah,
you know, first date with someone, like your relationship with another person, like oftentimes, mm-hmm, there's not that communication of what you're looking for. And that can lead to a lot of messy situations. And so, mm-hmm, I think it's nice how it kind of puts that out on the table at the beginning. And then if you want to have a deeper discussion about that, you can, but at least you kind of know the person's, mm-hmm, overall intentions from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then speaking of other dating apps, Grindr is the most widely used app for gay men and bisexual men. And then Her is the main app used for gay and bisexual women. And so those are kind of the main kind of apps that we've, you know, that are in use, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I feel like those are like the most common for sure, the ones that I hear about the most often. So yeah, on that note, so I work for a mobile analytics company that captures data on how, you know, like mobile trends, like how apps are performing. And I was actually just talking to my coworker about an interesting thing with dating apps. He was viewing the trends of like different dating apps recently and how they're used most often. And Hinge, interestingly enough, was used most commonly in the afternoons, which indicates that, you know, people are taking time out of their day to like respond to messages and engage with people. Maybe they're taking it a bit more serious, or, you know, they're looking for, again, like a more serious relationship. And then Bumble was most commonly used in like the early evening, if I'm not mistaken. So again, like still in the day, but like later in the night. And I guess Tinder was used most commonly like in the middle of the night. So like in the evening to like the middle of the night. So again, like all good, like everyone's looking for something different. But I just thought that that was interesting. That just kind of illustrates like how, I guess, how and when different apps are used.
Yeah, that's so cool that you have that nugget of information from, you know, the line of work that you do. So thank you for sharing that. I think that's really,
yeah,
really cool, and just kind of, you know, goes to show, you know, the behaviors kind of matching with the intentions a little bit mm-hmm, behind the apps. And so that's just kind of cool data to see.
Yeah, totally.
One of the other questions that someone asked was what's a good thing to put on your profile. And so I thought it'd be kind of nice to, you know, talk about what makes a good profile, what doesn't. And we already kind of talked about how on Bumble you can choose to put like what you're interested in, and also all sorts of different options, like what type of work you do, your age, your height, your like astrology sign, your how much you drink, if you know, smoking, and just all sorts of like things.
I loved that Hinge, and I think Bumble too had the option to write your height, because I'm 5'11". And so it's like a small nuanced thing about online dating is that they didn't have that feature when I was 19. And so I would always like have to awkwardly ask the guy like, how tall are you? Or whatever. It would just like come up in conversation, or I would hope that it would come up in conversation because I'm super tall, and like, I would want them to be taller than me, you know, like that's something that I guess was like a deal breaker for me. So now that they have that additional feature of like the height, I think that's really important. And on the topic of that, I also think like having your political views and like to your point, like how much you drink and everything is really valuable, because like if you do recreational drugs, like you probably wouldn't be the best fit for someone who's like anti recreational drugs, or like if you're very liberal, like you probably wouldn't be a great match for someone who's really conservative. Like maybe you are, and maybe it works out, but you know, ultimately like your views and beliefs are very important in a relationship, to just be able to align on those, or at least like know where that person is coming from and be able to understand them. So I do like that dating apps are incorporating additional questions and features like that to like really make sure that you're getting down to like the important things. Because it's not just like the photos, it's like, you know, who is this person?
So definitely like include some of those on Bumble or on Hinge. And another thing that I like about Bumble and Hinge is that they encourage people to like ask questions, like having prompts in your profile. And so it kind of like encourages conversation. So even if you're on Tinder, or, you know, you don't have that option or something, you can put in your bio like, what's your favorite place to like grab coffee or something. I don't know, that's like a bad example, but like just having some like asking a question in your bio to like get the conversation started. Also, I think being just authentic in your profile, and just because as you said, like with political views and all the other things, kind of the idea of like attracting and matching with people who are a good fit. And so the more authentic that you are in your bio, the better that will be. And and definitely put something in your bio, because there's people who don't, and it's not very helpful to the people who are looking, unless all you're looking for is like a hookup based on looks, then that's, I guess, you know, you do you. But I feel like even then it's nice to like put something in your bio, because, you know, getting a feel of their personality, see if there's chemistry a little bit.
I was gonna say too, when it comes to your profile, again, like definitely include like prompts or things that are important to you that you can kind of like start up a conversation with someone about. But also when it comes to photos, I know there's a lot of like unwritten rules around like what you should, you know, put in your like profile. I know I've heard like some people are like, oh, just put photos of yourself, because like photos with other people isn't like how you should, like you should be putting your best foot forward and like doing only pictures of yourself. And I like didn't like that, because I like don't like just pictures of myself. So I personally think like a good balance of photos with you, just maybe of you, like I think I had like two of me and then like three of me with like my girlfriends or something, because it shows that like, for example, some of my photos were from festivals that I had gone to, and like, I love festivals and concerts. So that not only illustrated that I like being social, I guess, and going out and being with people, but also like going to concerts. And I remember my partner, Jonathan, had a picture from Burning Man as his like second photo, and it was with a ton of people. So I didn't know which one was him, but then you can like ultimately find out who they are based on like their other photos. But like, I, even though I couldn't see him in the photo, I just thought that it was cool that he went to Burning Man, because I was like, I love festivals too. So like, it was a good conversation starter. I think it was like one of the first things we talked about, actually.
That's great. Yeah. I think that's, yeah, it's great to show pictures that show a bit of your personality and your interests, because it's a great, it can be a good conversation starter and something to connect on, like festivals for you and Jonathan. Yeah. And then also when it comes to photos of yourself versus of with other people, as you said, like, I think as long as you can kind of distinguish, or at least in most of your pictures, distinguish who you are, I think it's good for your main first photo to be just you. So people kind of can see, okay, this is who this person is. And then looking through, if it is like a photo where it's hard to distinguish who the person is, it should show some personality or some interest and serve a purpose in that way. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think too, like, just like continuing on this topic, when it comes to, you know, matching with someone in your first kind of conversations with them, I think that another like misconception is that you have to like say something like really funny and interesting as like their first pickup line, I suppose, or like introduction to the conversation. And I personally don't think that that's like super important. In fact, like, it was a bit of a turnoff for me if someone said something kind of bold or like out of, like, maybe a little bit bold, but if it was like something super direct or it was like a cheesy pickup line, like, I would immediately, I wouldn't respond, or I would like remove them, because you get like a lot of like gross, weird ones too. But like Jonathan, my boyfriend, just said like, hello, Chelsea, smiley face or something like that. And I was like, yeah, like, great. Yeah. You know, like, you don't need to say anything like amazing or like think about something for hours. I know some people spend a lot of time crafting their messages, and just like, be yourself, have a conversation, just ask them a question, even if it's just how their day is. Like, the right person, or like, not the right person, but if they're interested, like, they'll respond, like, regardless of what it is. Yeah. I wouldn't just say like, hi, but I would like, you know, say hello and put like a little emoji or how's your day going or something like that. That's just my personal opinion on it.
And I think I really like how you said, like, he said, hi, Chelsea. And I think it's great to put a person's like name when you message them, because then it shows you're not just copying and pasting hi, you know, like, you took the time to actually write out their name, and you're like, okay, this is someone that like, I'm taking the time to like consciously talk to them, you know. It just shows a little bit more effort. And then also one thing that I've done, because on Bumble, and one thing that we left out when talking about the dating apps, is that women message the men first on Bumble. What I've done is look at their profile and like ask a question or make a comment about something in their profile. If, like you said with Jonathan, Burning Man, like, you could ask like, how was Burning Man, or like, when did you go, or like, you know, who was your favorite artist? I guess Burning Man's more than just like music, it's like a whole thing, you know. But you can like ask questions related to their profile, and it shows that you took the time to like look through their profile and notice something about them. And then it starts talking about something that they're passionate about. Totally. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was actually going to say that next too. I would say like, if you want to be like a little bit more creative and, I don't know, say something that's a little bit more interesting than just like, hello, I would say, like, to your point, just like, oh, where was that photo taken? Or like, who was your favorite artist at Coachella or whatever? Because then it like immediately sparks like a connection, and it sparks a story behind that photo. And yeah, I mean, on that topic too, I guess like another common thing that happens on dating apps is ghosting. Like, you know, like, you'll be talking to someone for a really long time and you'll be like excited about them, and then it'll just like die out of nowhere. And like, I know that that's happens to a lot of people. It definitely happened to me, and I definitely ghosted people too. And I would just say, like, on that note, a couple things. Like, first of all, if you're interested in someone and you're talking to them for like a couple of days, now I would, you know, with the pandemic, I would do like a FaceTime after a few days. But like, pre-pandemic, I would have just like made something happen where you can meet up and like actually do a date. I think I learned that, mm-hmm. you know, what's like the point of just going back and forth for days or weeks? Like, are you like amounting to anything besides just like talking about like normal stuff? Like, you need to meet someone to like really understand who they are and see if it's a good fit. So mm-hmm. I'm a believer in like asking someone to hang out within a few days. Like, and mm-hmm. on that topic too, I think giving them your phone number if you feel safe and comfortable is good too, because I think texting is easier than the app. And like, once you move to that texting step, then you're like one step closer to like the actual date. So I think that asking to hang out if you're interested is a great way to like, not like prevent ghosting, but you know, like if you're worried that things are becoming less interesting, maybe. Because like it really is kind of mundane to just message someone all day, yeah. every day for like days or weeks. It is. Yeah. And so why not just meet up with them? Like, what's the big deal? Like, it'll probably be fine. If anything, it's a bad date, but like whatever, we all have those. So I think suggesting to hang out, or better yet, doing like the FaceTime date after a few days is great. I also think like sending photos is like a fun way to kind of switch it up and like not just be like texting back and forth all the time. Like, I remember with Jonathan, we were like messaging for a few days and then we went to texting. I gave him my number and then we were texting for maybe 4 or 5 days before we went out on a date, because I was traveling at the time, and we started like sending each other like fun photos of things we were doing. Like, I like went on this walk, these puppies like came up and were like playing with me and my brother. So I like sent him a picture of the puppies, or like a beer that I was drinking that I really like. It sounds small and maybe insignificant, but I think it kind of just switches it up and it shows them. Like, he told me later that he knew that I was interested when I started sending him photos, because it was like, oh, she's like taking the time to like send me a photo of what she's doing and like she's interested. So yeah.
I love that idea of taking a photo of what you're doing, because obviously like adding on like Snapchat and stuff, maybe this was like over text or Snapchat? Just curious.
Text.
Yeah. Cause like in my experience, I actually have a funny story about this, but with Snapchat, sometimes people will expect more like racy images. Not always, but there was this one guy that we talked just a little bit, and he asked for my Snapchat, and so I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And we like sent, you know, just like normal selfie photos back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then this was around Thanksgiving 2019, so Disney Plus had just launched. And mm-hmm. it was Thanksgiving and I was with my family, and he like Snapchatted me. He's like, what are you up to? And I was like, oh, I'm watching Disney Plus with my family, you know? And I expected him to be like, oh, like, what are you watching? Or like, oh, that's so cool. Like, how's Disney Plus? Like, it's a new thing. Like, how, it, you know, like literally anything of that nature. And he sends
me. I know what you're going to say.
It wasn't quite a dick pic, but it was like,
oh my God,
in his sweatpants with like the imprint of a dick in his bed. And he was like, I'm so horny, Zarina. So it was meant for me. It wasn't like, because at first I was like, maybe he meant to send this to someone else, but he's put my name in there. After I told him that I was watching Disney Plus with my family.
Oh my God. So disgusting. Ew.
So I like the idea of texting and like pictures of what you're doing, because you get more of an idea of like that person and their hobbies and interests. And I mean, you know, Snapchatting photos of each other, whatever, is fine. Just make sure you're on the same page and that you're reading the conversation well. Like, I think most people would agree saying, hey, I'm watching Disney Plus with my family, when you've never sexted before. Sending like a picture like that is not the best response.
No, not at all. Yeah.
And I like the idea, what you said with texting. One thing that I really like when people do is when they offer you their number instead of asking you for yours. So this goes for dating apps and also just meeting people in person, especially meeting people in person, because sometimes people will be like, what's your number? Like, can I have your number? And sometimes people may not actually want to give you their number, but it feels like uncomfortable to just say no, you know? And there's that whole like trope of saying 867-5309 or like giving a fake number or something. But if you give someone else your number, you're like, hey, like you should text me sometime and like give them your number, then puts the ball in their court. And if they're interested, they will text you and they don't feel uncomfortable rejecting you or giving you their number when they don't actually want to give you their number. So I like how you just straight up was like, hey, here's my number, you know? And, and that's another thing. Like if you want to like take it a step further and show that interest, that's a great way to go. But yeah. And also what you said with like, after a few days asking on a date or even now like a FaceTime or a video chat through the app, like I think that's a great idea, but not to go too soon. Cause like I've had people literally, they say hi and then I respond and then they're like, oh, can I have your Snapchat? Or, hey, do you want to like, can I have your number? Or like at least have a little bit of a conversation before you like take it up a notch. So there's kind of like a delicate balance there, but yeah, definitely if you're at that point where you're like going back and forth a lot, don't be afraid to kind of make that jump and say, hey, like, here's my number. We should text. Or like, oh, would you be comfortable going on like a FaceTime date? Taking that next step, like you said.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think rule of thumb is maybe like after like 4 to 5 days of being on an app or even like 3, I don't know. I also like had this weird thought that you're like literally connected to someone over an app, a technology. And like, what happens if there's like a glitch or something? And you know, like you could like literally like lose out on the person. Like, I know that that's like a weird thought, but like, I seriously have had like app in the past just stop working, you know, like there's like a bug or whatever. And like, what if you like lose a person that you've been talking to for like weeks and you just, you know, I don't know, like that's probably not very likely, but it's just like dating apps are crazy. Like the fact that you can meet your soulmate in a stack of profiles is just like so random.
Yeah.
So like, why not just give them your number to make sure you're not going to lose them?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, like a nice way to kind of show interest as well. And yeah, I never thought about that, like losing out on a connection because of an app like crashing or glitching or whatever. Yeah. So speaking of messaging, another question that someone asked was, why is there sometimes insane chemistry over text, but not like there's no chemistry over FaceTime or in real life? That's a very good question. And it's kind of hard to think about, but there's so much that goes into attraction. Like attraction is such a convoluted thing. And I think a lot of it has to do with just like the way people move in the world, like just little quirks and movements, like how they like raise their hand or like, you know, how their voice is like another thing and how they speak and just how they move and go about being in the world. And that's not something that you can get over text. Also in our previous episode about figuring out your sexuality for yourself, we talk about different types of attraction. And I feel like over texting, you can build more of like intellectual conversation and have, you know, like witty conversations and kind of have that like intellectually stimulating flirting type of thing going on. But that physical aspect isn't there. Like you can see photos of someone, but you can't, and you know, you could be like, okay, like I'm attracted to this person. Like I think they're an attractive person or not, but the physical chemistry itself, you can't tell from a photo. That's from seeing a person, how they act, and then the chemistry between the two of you, like that's completely as I said, it's a very complicated thing, but there is oftentimes the aspect of physical and emotional of talking to each other and like seeing the person as they are, you know, beyond just a photo. So there's so much more that goes into attraction than messaging. And I feel like messaging is a, you know, talking, obviously texting is a very powerful tool, especially if you've already met the person and you know that you have physical, emotional, in-person chemistry, but just texting alone, like you can't really tell for sure, which is why I think it's nice to FaceTime or, you know, pre-pandemic meet up in real life or now meet up in real life in a safe way in order to see if that chemistry translates or not before you invest everything into them based on messaging alone.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's like goes back to my point about just not texting for too long, because like you just really need to meet the person and like find out if there's a connection, because you could just be like wasting time texting someone that's like not ultimately a fit for you. I also think that people are more confident over text than they are, or confident might not be the right word, but they might be a little bit more bold over text than in person. I mean, they're behind a phone, you know, like it's not who they like really are. And so I also think that maybe just going back to the question, like maybe you're meeting some or you're connected with someone through a dating app and you are messaging them and it's new and it's exciting and you're both being bold and you don't know each other yet. And then you meet up in person and it just doesn't live up to the same expectations. And I just, I think that one, people, like I said, are just more bold. They're more willing to say whatever's on their mind over text because they're protected by a screen. And then in person that they're just not living up to that same expectation. They're just not like, I don't know. That's like a really hard question to answer, but I think that that's just why you need to meet up in person and find that out for yourself.
Yeah. And I think what you said about not living up to expectations is a really poignant point because I feel like when you just text someone, you do kind of build up this expectation of what they are like in your head. And part of that may be true based off of what they're saying, but you can build up this chemistry and like what's going on. But then if you meet up with them in person and those expectations don't align with how it actually is, that can be very disappointing and kind of fizzle it out a bit. And then also, yeah, as you said, like a person behind a screen, not only might they be more bold because they feel a bit more confident or able to say things, but also they have the time to like carefully think about a response and think about how they want to present themselves rather than just responding in the moment. Like it doesn't have that same in moment kind of response chemistry type of thing going on.
Yeah, I think that I totally agree. And with like expectations too, like again, just going on off of that topic, like the best advice that I could give with going on online dates is just like, don't have any expectations. Even if you've been talking for a really long time and you're so excited about this person, you like tell your friends about them, like just don't like raise your expectations, because more than likely they're not going to be exactly how you envision it to be. It may still be great, but it's not going to be how you dreamed of it to be. So my advice too with that is I feel like the more you talk about a date, like a person that you're meeting up with, and you like hype it up, the greater likelihood that you're going to be disappointed. I had this happen a few times where I would like tell like five of my girlfriends and I would tell my mom and I would like get so excited to like meet up with this person. And then it was just like, not great, like not a good date. Yeah. And they just like feel like so down and disappointed. And so when I met up with Jonathan, I was like, I'm just going to tell, like, again, to my earlier point, like make sure you're telling someone. So my mom knew, and then like one of my other friends knew, but I didn't tell anyone else. And I feel like it like made it better because I didn't like hype it up. I wasn't talking about it with a bunch of people. I just like went and I was like, okay, like whatever happens, happens. And then it went great. So I just, does that make sense? Like you don't have to like let yourself down and kind of like tell all these people, oh, it didn't go well, it didn't go well, it didn't go well. Like you just have to like explain it to people. You're sad. So just kind of like go to the date for yourself, have very low expectations on how it'll go. And then you can be surprised, and it's better to like have low expectations and then have it go amazing. And then you're like so happy and so surprised than have like super high expectations and then it like not meet those.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. I think when you tell other people too, you bring it. I mean, obviously, you know, as we said, like do tell someone so they know where you are. But when you tell, you said a lot of people, it almost brings it outside of yourself. And then it's almost like you're letting yourself down. And then it's also like not letting them down, but then you have to explain to them and like relive it, you know, by saying, oh, it didn't work out. And so, yeah, as you said, like going on the date just for yourself and not hyping it up and just going with the intent, with the mindset of, okay, like whatever happens, happens. This person is taking time out of their day to meet up with me. I'm taking time out of my day to meet up with them. Whether it works out or not is fine, but we're two humans getting to know each other. And if, you know, maybe it won't work out romantically or sexually, but maybe you'll make a friend out of it. Maybe you'll learn more about another person, about a different way of life. I actually had this idea for a podcast after a date with someone. So I'm very thankful for that experience, even though it didn't, it wasn't like anything that worked out, but you never know what's going to come from it. So
You get something, you'll learn something new from every experience that you have. I can totally vouch for that. I like talked to a guy for probably like 2 weeks on Tinder again, but this is why you should like try to meet up with someone if you are interested. But it just kind of like fizzled out on both ends. But he told me about this artist named Kazette. He's like a house DJ, and I like love this artist now. So like, you know, didn't work out, but I have this new band or this artist that I still listen to this day. Nice. So you always get, you know, you'll learn something new, and yeah, it's not like a total loop. It's not like a bad situation all around.
Yeah. And if you do find yourself in a bad situation, don't feel bad or guilty for leaving and removing yourself from that situation. Like, as you said earlier with your experience with that guy who, you know, who like trapped you in a corner, you can leave. You don't have to be like, I need to get the best out of this experience. Like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Like, run. For the most part though, like, I have to say, like, my very first Tinder date, I talked about this in my a previous episode about consent, but the very first Tinder date I went on was with this guy who, like, 15 minutes in, he, like, brought up sexual experiences, and I said I was a virgin. He was like, oh, I would love to take your virginity, you know, and just got very kind of, like, forward and, like, not, like, physically aggressive, but kind of just, I don't know, I just wasn't feeling it. But every date after that I've gone on has been with people who were pretty like respectful, or actually there's another one who was a bit kind of like meh, but like for the most part, most of them have been like fairly respectful, cool dudes. And like, there just wasn't like a click. There are some wild cards out there, you know, like your bad experience. And there are some people out there like that, but I feel like for the most part, it's just too fairly sane, respectful people meeting up. And it oftentimes there's just doesn't click or whatever, but you do kind of gain something from it. And if not, you'd like met another person, maybe you'll, you know, have a new band that you listen to, or, you know, there's something usually that you can find a silver lining in, I think.
Totally.
Yeah. And actually on the date, you know, kind of what we said earlier, just being yourself, and just, it might be awkward, but that's fine. Just kind of roll with it. You know, the other person's probably feeling a little awkward too. Like, it's good to put your best foot forward, but also not taking that to the point of like trying to like do everything just to impress your date. Keep in mind, like, is this someone that I am interested in, rather than just thinking I want to please this person? And also just seeing, is there a connection? Like, how's the vibe? And just kind of going at it from the angle of getting to know someone rather than trying to impress someone. So there's that. And then, I don't know, is there anything you want to add to that, Chelsea?
I would say, yeah, totally agree with everything. Just like being yourself, and yeah, just not trying to impress anyone too much, just kind of going with it, go with the flow, have fun. I would say have like, this is going to sound kind of funny, but maybe have some questions in your head. Of like things, you know, like memorize that you can ask if it does get awkward. Because again, it's probably going to be awkward at some point. Like, there's going to be some silence because that's normal. So just having a few questions like memorized that you could surface if it does get to that. You know, you could ask them about their family or like some of their hobbies, or do they like to cook? Like, where's like the best place they've traveled? Like things like that. Yeah. Just like memorize those and then like, you know, bring them up if it gets to that point. That's just another little tip.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, kind of asking questions that get to, you know, learning more about them, asking kind of open-ended questions, and also asking maybe follow-up questions or questions based on things that they've already said on the date. Listening and paying attention to what they're saying and then asking them about that more is also a great way to go.
Yeah, agreed.
And speaking of, you know, going back to kind of figuring out chemistry, one definition of chemistry that I really liked is actually from Her, the dating app. They have a blog, and it's from that blog. I'll put the link in the YouTube video description. But it said, chemistry before meeting is less about how you see the other person and more about how the interactions make you feel in and about yourself. And so I think that's a great definition. That's great before meeting, but also I think after meeting too, like we were talking about this, Chelsea, about how some of the people that we felt the strongest attraction to, it was after the date, we were thinking about how we just wanted to see that person again and like talk to them. And we just kept thinking about them. Mm-hmm. And so rather than thinking about, oh, does this person check all of my boxes, just kind of feeling like, how does that person make you feel about yourself? How do they make you feel in general, you know? And unless they're, of course, like big red flags, like don't ignore any red flags. But I thought that was a nice kind of way to view chemistry on a first date, because sometimes trying to figure out whether or not you had chemistry on a first date can be kind of tricky.
Totally. And we're just, you're not like your 100% self on a first date. Like you're nervous and it's a bit awkward. So just like if it generally goes well and you had fun and you felt comfortable, like I would say that there maybe not was chemistry, but that there's potential to have chemistry there. And to your point, like if you are continuing to think about them after the date, then like, yeah, continue to see them and just see where it goes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. So Chelsea, you are a success story of going from meeting online to, you know, being in a long-term relationship. So kind of what are some tips you have on going from the dating phase to like defining the relationship phase? I don't know if that's a phase, it's more of like a moment, but
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that everyone is obviously like different. But I think as you like spend more time with this person and you like determine that, you know, you would like to continue to see them and establish a relationship with them, then you start like having those conversations. So, you know, like maybe bringing up like if they're seeing anyone else, or they bring it up with you and you just start open and candid about how you're feeling about things. And then you eventually like are in a partnership and you're only seeing each other. But I think that that's like an important conversation to have, is just like what they are thinking about your relationship. And if it doesn't need to be like something, you know, super intense, you could just be like, oh, like I'm just kind of curious how you're viewing our relationship and if you're like still seeing other people, because you know, they might be, and that's like an important conversation to have. And then I feel like from there it kind of just like progresses naturally. I feel like pretty early on, me and my boyfriend knew that we, you know, liked each other a lot and wanted to continue seeing each other. We moved in with each other after 6 months, which is quite, quite early on. And we've been living together for like a year and a half now. But yeah, just, I would just say being like open and honest with each other. Communication is so, so, so important. I feel like that's like a very common thing to say, but it really is like, just communicate like everything you're feeling. Even if you think that it might sound like weird or whatever, just be open and honest and have those conversations early on, like when it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, as you said, like it's, maybe this will come up in every single episode, but communication is important. And kind of what you're saying, like not being afraid to bring that up and not like in like a very intense, like, what are we? Like, I need to know, you know, but kind of like in a casual way, not being afraid to bring that up. Cause I think that question has a lot of, I don't know, like negative stuff.
A lot of weight. Yeah. It carries a lot of weight. And so it can be like intimidating to ask, but like, yeah. If you feel comfortable, then like, I don't know, might as well. I did. Yeah. And like, it was fine. I think the right guy won't be like turned off by that. Like they'll appreciate that you're bringing it forward to them.
Yeah. Yeah.
The right guy or girl. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's great. Thank you for sharing that, Chelsea. And also another thing that, you know, we have to address, which I think we've talked about a little bit throughout, but dating during COVID is obviously very different than dating during normal, quote unquote, times, you know, pre-pandemic yeah. times. And so at first, you know, it's kind of clear like, oh, you go on a video date, you know, or you socially distance or whatever. But then it kind of comes a question like, okay, once you've been dating a while, like how do you broach that physical intimacy and kind of taking it a step forward. So mm-hmm. some approaches might be like, oh, maybe you both get tested before, making sure, you know, very clearly communicating your boundaries beforehand. And I don't know, just the, you know, thoughts on dating past the first date, but dating during COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I have a few friends of mine that have like met their significant others during the pandemic. And I would just say, like communication is key. Obviously, you know, getting on the same page first to like make sure you'll wear a mask and stay socially distanced initially. And then, you know, if that goes well, then I would just continue to have the conversation and maybe like they could be in your like quarantine circle, you know, like where you're kind of just seeing them and a friend or something like that, so that you know that you're being safe and like making sure that they're doing the same. And yeah, I would say like getting tested definitely would be important just to make sure that, you know, yeah, I guess just peace of mind more than anything. But just like making sure that you're on the same page would be the biggest thing. Like you're both being safe.
Yeah. And as you were saying earlier with like being selective about who you meet up with and with, you know, putting like your political views and religious views and all that and making sure you're with someone where your values line up, I feel like this is like another layer of that, mm-hmm. making sure that you're compatible with someone who's approaching the pandemic in a similar way that you are. And making sure that you're both comfortable with the way that you're approaching intimacy. Mm-hmm. And actually Bumble has a really great guide that they put together on dating during a pandemic. And so I'll link mm-hmm. that as well. It's on their website, which is bumble.com, on their blog, which is called The Buzz. And it's called Guide to Dating in 2021. And they have a lot of resources on there. So you can check that out for more. But yeah, and also another thing that I think a lot of people are experiencing, and I know I definitely have, is burnout with dating apps and just like virtual burnout in general. I feel like with so many, especially with people who are working remotely and online, like so many Zoom meetings and like being on a computer more than you would even like at a 9-to-5 job where you even sit at a desk. Yeah. Like it's just, and talking with friends and family, and so much of your connections nowadays are through a screen, and it just can get exhausting. And when you're, you know, texting people back and forth and having to keep up with all these conversations, that can also be exhausting. And so I know for me, even before the pandemic, like I would get burnt out from dating apps and like take a couple months break or something. But recently, like back in, I think, October, maybe even September of 2020, I just decided to remove my profile like from dating apps, which is the first time I've done that since I started using dating apps when I was 18. And it's been really nice. Like I haven't regretted it at all. It got to the point where it just felt like it was a chore and something that needed to be done rather than something that was fun and exciting and that I wanted to do. In contrast to like one of my really close friends is recently single and is like on dating apps now. And it's like this really super new, fun, exciting thing. And she's like messaging us like, oh my God, like I'm going on a coffee date with this guy, or oh, I'm FaceTiming this guy tonight. And like, she's just very excited about it, you know? And I feel like I got to the point where I was like, oh, I have to respond to this person. Like I don't have time for this. I don't want to do this. Like I'm so like burnt out. And so it's been really nice to like take a break and a breather and like reapproach it when I'm like feel fresh and ready and excited about it again. So if you are thinking of taking a break, but you're like, oh, like I should meet someone, time's a ticking, like I think it's fine to like take a break and like remove yourself to like get a breather. At the same time though, like I've had one of my friends met her fiance when she was really burnt out on dating apps. And she was like, oh, I don't know how much more of this I can take, you know, because it gets, especially when you go on a lot of dates, you know, and it just doesn't work out, even though of course it's not going to work out with everyone because you're not going to hit it off with everyone, but still it can get kind of, I don't know, a bit disappointing at some point and just kind of adds to that burnout. Mm-hmm. And so she was kind of like on her last leg and then she met her fiance. But in general, I don't know. I just feel like I'll just have a better time meeting people, even if they aren't a romantic or sexual kind of takeoff, whatever. I think I'll just have more fun if I'm in a better mood and have a better approach to it. So, and I know that a lot of, like, I have other friends who feel that way too. Like they get burnt out on dating apps. So if you're experiencing that, you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you. Cause it's kind of like, oh my God, like, why am I burnt out and exhausted by this? Like, this is dating, you know, like it shouldn't be that way. But yeah, that does happen. And it's okay to take a break or, you know, scale back for a little bit if you want to. So
yeah, totally. Yeah. I took many breaks in like the few years that I had dating apps because it gets tiring and disappointing and annoying to just be like getting your hopes up for things or getting burnt out. So I would just say like check in with yourself, take breaks when you need to. I wouldn't have like too many apps. Like I would just kind of have like one or two at a time so you can genuinely focus on those apps and the people that you're talking to and not just like have like five and just be like, you know, constantly messaging. Like then you'll really get burnt out. But just like have like a genuine approach to dating apps and just, you know, if you like need time to just take a break, then listen to yourself, listen to that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely take time for yourself if you need to. And a lot of people take breaks like you did multiple times. I have multiple times as well, especially like we've had it for like both. We're on dating apps for 5+ years, which is like a long time too. So, I think that kind of concludes everything that we were going to talk about, but is there anything else that you wanted to talk about before we sign off?
No, I don't think so. It was great having this discussion. I'll just say like anyone who's, you know, like excited or nervous about like going on a dating app, but like doesn't know how to approach it, like just be yourself and just like have fun with it. And like, you never know what's going to happen. Like you could definitely meet someone amazing. So just don't put like too much thought into it and just have fun and just go with it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I completely agree. Just have fun. It's there to be fun. And if it hits off with someone, if you meet your soulmate on it, you'll know and things will progress in a way, but you don't have to stress about that, you know, just have fun and be yourself and And the rest will kind of fall into place. As cheesy as that sounds, it is a much lower, less stressful way to go about it. And I think you'll burn out a lot less quickly with that mindset. So, yeah.
Totally. Don't put too much pressure on it. Just have fun.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Chelsea. And thank you everyone for listening and or watching. So we are on Instagram at the Virgin and the Bees podcast. And if you're enjoying this podcast, we would greatly appreciate a rating review on Apple Podcasts. It helps the podcast. So if you're enjoying it, or I guess if you're not enjoying it, you can leave a review. And yeah, so thanks again. Keep on buzzing.
Thank you.